It's 10 after 9. Welcome back to the Monday Morning Mix on Radio Islam International. Time now for our weekly book review program with Mawlana Ashraf Dokkarat. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu
wa ta'ala. MashaAllah, good to have you back on air, and we hope review lots of books in the next few months, inshaAllah.
InshaAllah, why not?
MashaAllah. Well, infinitesimal, although it is infinitesimal, but we have to start somewhere.
No, that's true, Molana. Infinitesimal is subtitled How a Dangerous Mathematical Theory Shaped the Modern World. And the author is Amir Alexandra. The book is published by One World Publication. And this book brings mathematics and religion together in a rather interesting way. Perhaps it may be a good idea, Molana, for us to read from the blurb from the inner cover of the book first. It says that on 10th August 1632, five leaders of the Society of Jesus convened in a somber Roman palazzo to pass judgment on a simple idea, that a continuous line is composed of distinct and limitlessly tiny parts. The doctrine would become the foundation of calculus. But on that fateful day, the judges ruled that it was forbidden. Within a stroke of a pen, they set off a war for the soul of the modern world. Amir Alexandra's infinitesimal is the story of the struggle that pitted Europe's entrenched powers against the voices for tolerance and change. It takes us from the bloody religious strife of the 16th century to the battlefields of the English Civil War and the fierce confrontation between leading thinkers such as Galileo and Hobbes. We see how a small mathematical disagreement became a contest over the nature of the heavens and the earth. Was the world entirely known and ruled by a divinely sanctioned rationality and hierarchy, or was it a vast and mysterious place ripe for exploration? The legitimacy of popes and kings, as well as our modern beliefs in human liberty and progressive science, hung in the balance. The answer hinged on the infinitesimal. Pulsing with drama and excitement, infinitesimal will forever change the way you look at the simple line. So this is the what the inner cover of the book says. The author is really a historian and shows that mathematics can also become entangled in a way in controversy. The first part of the book, Molana, is set in the 16th and 17th centuries, and the mathematics in question is actually the proper understanding of continua, straight lines, plane figures, solids, etc. And the question is that, is a line segment, for example, composed of an infinite number of indivisible points? If so, and if these infinitesimals have zero width, how does the line segment come to have a positive length? And if they have a non-zero width, why isn't the sum of their width infinite? So for reasons like these, Aristotle had argued that continua would not consist of indivisibles. But new developments at that time were demonstrating the thinking of them in this way yielded insights not easily obtained from traditional Euclidean geometry. And this book then documents how some of the leading mathematicians of the time, Cavalieri, Torricelli, Galileo and others, were at the forefront of new geometrical approaches all the time involving the infinite and infinitesimals. But why was this actually controversial? The author explains the controversy and shows that it was deeper than just this mathematical controversy, because it involved, on the one hand, the Reformation and the Jesuits. The Jesuits are really an interesting Roman Catholic order. They are known as the Society of Jesus, and their intellectual rigor and allegiance to the papacy made them actually serve as a bulwark against the Protestants of the time and Protestant advancements of the time. The book is divided into two parts, and the first focuses on Rome and begins with the founding by Ignatius Loyola of this Society of Jesus that became popularly known as the Jesuits. The purpose of the Jesuits, as we said, was to establish an intellectual force to reverse the spread of Protestantism, and they were entirely dedicated to the authority of the Catholic Church, and the authority, the dictatorial authority in a sense, of the Pope. In fact, their founder, Ignatius Loyola, wrote that what I see as white, I will believe to be black, if the hierarchical church determines it. And the author quotes this on page 40 of the book. For the Jesuits then, tradition, resoluteness and authority seemed bound up with the Euclidean and mathematics and Catholicism. Chaos, confusion and paradoxes were associated with infinitesimals and all these proliferating Protestant sects that they had to face now that were challenging the authority of the Roman Catholic Church. Galileo, who was later found to be guilty of heresy, supported some of his ideas with the idea of the infinitesimal, and the author writes that he was courageous under the circumstances, and he was not only a great mathematician and physicist, but also he shows how he was, in a sense, a witty and a compelling writer in the way he took up the challenge against the Jesuits. Most of the book is devoted to the stories and interrelated stories of the leading mathematical and religious figures during these tumultuous times, the early modern times. They include the priest, discussions about the priest Christopher Clavius and his mathematical work on the Gregorian calendar, a new Gregorian calendar. And this part of the book I found extremely interesting. Also then, the censures of the Jesuit church, who finally succeeded in proscribing and censoring the infinitesimals. Along the way, there are very interesting geometrical insights that really make the case for accepting the infinitesimals. But at the end of the day, the Jesuits won the battle and succeeded in banning the infinitesimals in Italy. And the chapter that concludes this part of the book is a chapter titled The Battle of the Mathematicians. And on page 177, the author then writes that in 17th century Italy, the enemies of the infinitely small prevail. The principles of hierarchy, authority, and absolute unity of truth were affirmed, and the principles of freedom of investigation, pragmatism, and pluralism were defeated. The consequences for Italy were profound, and he shows how Italy then, as a result of that, regressed in a sense. The second part of the book is really a story of how this debate then moves towards to England, and there the key figures are Thomas Hobbes. He, we know, was a famous 17th century philosopher, and he promoted the idea of authoritarianism. And he was a strong advocate of law, order. Like the Jesuits, he preferred then a top-down hierarchical nature of organization of society. And also, he was a supporter then of Euclidean geometry. At that time, the English Civil War, which resulted in the death of 100,000 out of a population of 5 million, really provided the impetus for Hobbes. And his political philosophy. The author makes mention and provides, I think, a very good summary of Hobbes' famous book, Leviathan, in which Hobbes argued that, to quote him, without a strong ruler, individuals were condemned to live in a war of all against all, in which Hobbes is famously said to, you know, his famous quotation is, that life at that time was would be solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. Hobbes was opposed by his hated antagonist, the mathematician John Wallace. And I learned from this book, Monana, that John Wallace was the first person to use the symbol that we know now famously for infinity. Hmm. And he used the infinitesimals freely. And also he promoted any other ideas that would further mathematical insight. So this part of the book is then devoted to the clash between Hobbes and Wallace. And they clashed about whether the infinite and the infinitely small were mathematically legitimate. And it shows that over the time, this fact really, the idea about the infinitely small led to calculus, even differential equations, science and technology that have shaped the modern world today. And the author shows that this battle is not quite over. A trace of the dynamic that animated fierce struggles between the Jesuit mathematicians and the infinitesimals, as well as Hobbes and Wallace, he says, can be found today. And in his last chapter, Alexandra shows this, he says that from Rome and Florence to London and Oxford, the fight over the infinitely small raged across Western Europe. Consider what the world would have been like without infinitesimals. If the Jesuits and the Allies had had their way, there would be no calculus, no analysis, nor any of the scientific and technological innovations that flowed from these powerful mathematical techniques. Of the question of whether the continuum is made up of infinitesimals, Alexandra says in his epilogue that both sides believed that the answer could shape every facet of the modern world. As a result of these disputes, he concludes that the world was never the same again. So I think, Molana, all in all, the book will appeal to anyone who has an interest in geometry and maths, but also the book has a more general attraction, especially for anyone who is interested in the history of the controversies that rage within Christianity, and especially as Christianity had to face scientific development and the developing world. So the book has a more popular interest, and certainly it's an acclaimed book for its ability to bring a difficult and make accessible a difficult theory to the popular to a popular readership. The author provides explanations of some of the mathematics that's involved in the debate. There are a number of pages that do that, and this is a very useful addition. There are also short, useful biographical notes in an appendix to the various personae that are mentioned in the book. There's a timeline as well, and extensive notes that make the book accessible. So it is a very much a popular book, not necessarily a scholarly one. And I think the author, Amir Alexandra, is quite impressive in the way he puts a subtle mathematical concept, links it to a very, in a sense, a ripping historical narrative. So it becomes a worthwhile read, Molana. If there's one thing that is lacking in the book, and perhaps is a shame that Alexandra did not add it to the book, is the fact that there's no mention made of Islam as a rival to the Catholic Church. For example, Ibn al-Haytham used these proto-infinitesimals in Cairo and Iraq 500 years earlier already. But in any case, I think the book is a worthwhile read for anybody interested in the way in which mathematics really at some point meets religion.
Wonderful. Manana, how many pages does this book cover, and where can we get it from?
Manana, the book is now available freely at most good bookshops. You know, the exclusive books, all these books, all these bookshops keep the book. It's published by One World. It's 368 pages, but as I said, there's extensive appendices also attached to the book. So the book is not all of 360 pages that you have to read through, but the book is available for just under 200 rands, Molana.
MashaAllah. Good read indeed for the holidays also, Molana.
Yes, I think lots of people will find it interesting, Molana.
Jazakallah khairan for your time. Much appreciated.
A pleasure, Molana. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just gone 9:30 on Radio Islam International. It is the Monday morning mix. In the next few minutes, I'd like to discuss an important issue, and that is remembering people's names. You know how embarrassing it is to meet somebody after you've already met them a couple of times, and you try to remember the name, and you struggle, like, what's your name again? So, it's not a good situation to be in. It's a very awkward moment, especially if the opposite person remembers your name, and you, for some reason, cannot remember their name. It's very embarrassing, and it's very, very awkward to be in that situation. So, how do you remember people's names? How do you save yourself the embarrassment? How do you make sure that you remember the person correctly? That's what we are going to be discussing. And I'd like to hear from you on 011-854-1548. What are your tips? How do you remember people's names? Tell us. 011-854-1548. Alternatively, the WhatsApp studio line is 072-786-1548. That's 072-786-1548. And if you are following us on the Radio Islam Instagram account at Radio Islam, and by the way, we are live on the account there, you can interact with us there also. So the Instagram peeps, you can also tell us your tips on how you actually remember people's names. And it's important. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had over 100,000 sahaba that interacted with him from time to time, and over a period of time, alhamdulillah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam built a rapport with each and every sahabi of his, and he was able to recall their name. Not only their names, the Prophet of Allah would be able to highlight the good quality of that companion of his. Like he would say, "Oh Bilal, what good quality do you have in you that I hear your footsteps in Jannah when I went to visit Jannah and Jahannam and all these places? I heard your footsteps in Jannah. What is that good quality in you?" And Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala said, "O Nabi of Allah, I remain in the state of wudu, and whenever my wudu breaks, I perform a new ablution, a new wudu, and I read 2 rakats of salatul wudu." So that the Prophet of Allah highlighted among the Sahaba, "Bilal, I hear your footsteps in Jannah." So, how do you remember people's names? How do you get it right? That's what we are discussing today. I mean, think about it. One is you answer a call of a person and you say, "Assalamu alaikum, how are you doing?" As opposed to, "Assalamu alaikum, brother Yusuf, how are you doing, mashaAllah?" I want you to think for a moment, what kind of message it will send to the person opposite of you. When you answer the phone, and you take the person's name. Because many times people will think that, first of all, this man won't even have my name, my number saved. And secondly, even if he does have my number saved, would he be able to remember who I am, etc. So when you pick up the phone and you say, "Uncle Yusuf," or "Uncle Muhammad," or "Sister Sumayya," or whatever, how does it feel to that person? How does that person feel at that moment? They feel acknowledged. They feel important. Wow, you actually know my name. And you actually remember who I am. And even more amazing is if you can remember an incident of the past. Let's say you met with a friend over a function or over a dinner table, whatever it is. And they shared with you some incident. Let's say they spoke about their trip to Mecca, or they went to their in-laws, or whatever it is, and they shared some incident with you, and you did like a follow-up. Hey, so what happened with that story? Remember last time you were telling me? And the man will be, wow, so many months have passed by, I even forgot about it, but you have remembered it, mashaAllah, subhanAllah, really amazing. So this is one of the ways of winning people over and winning their confidence and their heart. So just think about it, how it would feel. And it's really, really embarrassing. Let's say if you're a teacher and you meet a prominent student of yours and you don't remember their names. And I'll acknowledge myself that I'm not good at it. I've taught in so many centers and so many children that when you meet them in the malls or somewhere, you just say, "Hey, how are you? But if you must actually go further than that and try to ask yourself, what is the student's name that you taught? You'll be like, I think I must go back to the classroom and refer to the register. So we need to build a rapport with the people that we interact with, and more importantly, we need to remember their names, inshallah. It makes them feel good. It makes them feel interested. Now, perhaps to get to the root of the problem, we need to understand some of the reasons why people find it difficult to remember other people's name. And let's look at some of the reasons behind this. And it's quite interesting also. By the way, Instagram peeps, you can also interact with us. And also the SMS line and the WhatsApp line is also open. Tell us, how do you remember people's names? How do you get it right all the time? So we look at some of the root issues and some of the areas of concern. One of the reasons why we don't remember people's name is because of our attitude towards them. Like, let's say you are meeting somebody out of the odd, and you are meeting somebody somewhere far, like, "I'm not going to see this person ever again. I don't need to interact with this person, so why pay so much attention and why put in so much effort. It's just a once-off interaction, and after that, he's on his way and I'm on my own way. So sometimes our attitude towards people makes a very big difference. And you would notice this, that when you are mixing with rich people, when you mix with rich people, with influential people, you attach that importance that, no, this is a very important person. I must remember his name. Not only name, let me take his number down, and email address, and yeah, any other contact details. We'll make a note. We'll even put a small note in brackets at who this person is. We'll remind ourselves. We'll attach importance to a person who's who's affluent, a person who's influential, and a person who's got a lot of contacts. So such people, we attach extra importance to them, and so we remember the names even though we don't regularly interact with them. If we happen to see them somewhere in the mall or in the marketplace, we'll know, hey, this is that person there, the CEO, or he is the minister, or he is so and so. So even though we don't have many interactions with the person, we'll still remember their names because of us attaching importance to that person. So sometimes it's our attitudes. And when it comes to poor people, or people who are not so popular, people who are just ordinary laymen, we tend to forget their names very quickly, because they're just ordinary people to us. And again, it's our attitude towards them, how we see people in our lives. So sometimes we need to question our attitude, we need to question our outlook towards people. Some people we deliberately choose not to remember their names, and other people we make sure that we remember their names. So that's one of the reasons, our attitudes towards people. Another reason why we don't remember people's name is because of lack of interest, or lack of concentration, if I may say. The person is giving you their name, or they are introducing themselves to you, and you are too busy with your phone. Like, yeah. You're too busy with your phone, and this person is introducing him or herself. Because the next time that person is going to meet you, they are not going to introduce themselves to you. They are going to say, we've met, alhamdulillah, several times before, and you are already fumbling, you are struggling to remember the name, and they give you such a comprehensive introduction to themselves, but you are too busy in your phone, typing out an email, or replying to somebody on Twitter, or checking your Instagram feed, or you're posting something on Facebook. You are too busy in your own world. So sometimes it's just a lack of concentration. We don't show that interest within people. So that is one of the primary reasons why we can't remember people's names. And that's a sad reality. If you want to network with people, if you want to broaden your horizon, you need to start remembering people's names. You need to take interest in their likes and in the dislikes. You need to take interest in their life. So this will build a good rapport with your audience. But if you show no interest, to start with, you don't know what's a person's name, or even embarrassing, you take a different name, a name that's totally wrong. You take a surname also that's proper, that's totally wrong. How embarrassing that can be. You refer to somebody by the wrong name or the wrong person, that could also be extremely embarrassing. So sometimes people don't remember names because of their attitudes, sometimes because of lack of interest. And number three, it could also be that you do remember it, but you remember it for a very short while. And this happens with a lot of people. You remember the person's name, but you only remember them for example a day or two whilst you are in touch with them. Let's say you have a project to do with them, a once-off project. So you remember the name maybe for a very brief period, a short period, for the day or two. But after that, or for example, you need to upgrade your contract. So you go to your service provider, whoever he or she is. You remember the name for a day or two. Once your package is upgraded and you are ready to move out of the store, you even forget about the person. You'll remember the person's face, but you won't remember the person's name. So sometimes we remember people for brief periods. Now, these are some of the pitfalls when it comes to people's names. and some of the areas of concern. How do we address this is also important and interesting. We're going to take a quick nasheed break, and when we return, inshallah, we'll continue with the program. It's just gone 9:40 on Radio Islam International. We are busy discussing names and people, how to remember people's names. You know, another embarrassing thing is that when you lose your SIM card, or when you realize that you are changing phones and you realize that you haven't backed up all the contacts, and then your regular caller calls, and you take it for granted, you think that the phone will help you identify the person, and your phone will help you put the voice behind the face. So when you answer the phone and you are speaking, and you're really, really trying your utmost best to figure out who is that person calling, you make out the voice, but you just can't get the name. It's so awkward and so embarrassing. It happens a lot with me. Ya salam. Allah make it easy. So many people we interact with. Anyways, we need to overcome this. You and I, we both need to overcome this challenge in our life if you want to network and make more contacts in life. So let's look at some of the tips on how to increase our memory and sharpen our memory when it comes to the names of people. Let me just read out one comment here on Instagram. This user says, exactly, attitude is the first reason. Rich or poor, we should always stay and be as ordinary people and show interest in others. You can send in your interactions on Instagram, also at Radio Islam. That's at Radio Islam, and follow the feed there. So how do we remember people's names? Number one, focus. When somebody is speaking to you, focus on their body language. Focus on their facial expression. Focus on how they speak. This will help you remember their names. You get, in our terms, in simple understanding terms, you'd say some goofy characters, and you'd easily relate to them. Why? Because of their movements, because of their facial expression, because of their colorful personality. So it's easier to remember people who are unique in their own ways. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize, that each and every person is unique in their own way. And if you focus on their uniqueness, and if you focus on their personality when they are introducing themselves, you will see that you'll remember the name in future also. So basically, whenever you meet a person, you are creating a register, you are creating a file for that person in your mind. And we've got hundreds of files in our head. We've got hundreds of files in our head of people we've met over the years and people we've interacted with. And when that person's name flashes in your mind, you have a certain personality that pops up into your memory. And that basically tells you who that person is. So the next time when you're interacting with another person, try to remember the name by focusing on their personality. Focus at their facial expression. Focus at the way they talk. Focus at the way they carry themselves. So you'll remember, Brother Yusuf, well-refined person, got a lot of akhlaq. He's a soft-spoken person. He won't harm a fly also. So that's the kind of memories you've attached with that person. So number one is focus. Focus is very key. Number two, repeat the person's name. One easy way to remember a person's name is to repeat it. So you say your name is Uweimira. Oh, okay, mashallah. Uweimira. I wonder what Uweimira means. So now you are repeating the name several times in a very tactful manner, and you are actually helping yourself to remember this person's name. And when you are repeating the name, repeat the name by looking the person in his eyes, in his or her eyes, and making eye contact. This will help you remember their name for a longer period, inshallah. So look at the man in the face, or look at the person in the face that you are talking to, and repeat the name 2-3 times. So you say your name is Uweimira. And if you want to remind yourself even more, you can say, I wonder what Uweimira means. What does it mean, people? Can somebody tell me? What does Uweimira mean? I wonder if it's an Arabic name or it's a Persian name. And then the person will be like, no, it's an Arabic name, mashallah. Let me tell you what it means. But I'm not going to tell you what it means. You must find out, understand? So the person will tell you the background, etc. My grandfather chose his name for me. He was really, really attached to this name because he heard of another pious lady. Her name was Uwemira. So my grandfather thought this would be a very nice name for me. And so he gave me this name. The next time you meet Sister Uwemira, subhanAllah, you'll remember the grandfather. Oh, Sister Uwemira, how are you? MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Also, a name like Shanawaz. Shanawaz, oh, what a beautiful name. You know, we usually don't hear these names in our community. It's a real unique name. Is this a Persian name? Is it an Arabic name? It sounds like it's a Persian name. Shahnawaz. Shahnawaz. Definitely not Arabic, eh? Yeah, I wonder what Shahnawaz means. Shah and Nawaz put together, what does it make? So, the person will give you some background to their name, and mashallah, this will help you remember the name. So, the key is to remember, to repeat the name tactfully, to repeat the person's name tactfully, and few times within the conversation. There's ways to do it, to repeat it in a style, and you can remember it for a long time. So, number one, focus on the person and the personality. Observe the personality of the person. Observe their facial expression, their hand language, their body movement. Number two, repeat their name tactfully. Not once, but a few times. Number three, attach importance to your meeting. Like I said early on, we're going to meet the CEO of the company, we are going to meet the senior manager, we are going to meet the man in the department. That's attaching importance to the meeting. If you say, we're just going to go meet somebody, yeah, let's go see what they're going to say, yeah, let's hear them out, yeah, then that's not going to help you. You're not going to remember anyone if that's the attitude and that's the kind of outlook you have to people. So attach importance to the meeting. Attach importance to the person. This will help you remember people's names. Number four, look for something unique in them. And this is amazing because every person has something unique in them. Every person. Allah has made us such that we are unique in our ways and our mannerisms. Every person. If you meet, let's say, Apa Khadija, who does the recipe program on Thursdays with Apa Mara, oh, mashallah, where's the Ferrero cake? Example, I'm saying. So, that's how you remember people. Look for something unique in them. And this was the quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Amazing. He had this ability to highlight and to notice the good in his companions. And this is very unique. Because when you highlight a quality of a person, it shows that you are taking interest in their life. It shows that you are taking interest in their personality. So, look for something unique in the person, you know, and you'll find that that will help you remember their names much easier, inshallah, much easily. Okay, the next point is, refer to them by their name in the conversation a couple of times. Repeat is different and referring to them is different. So, for example, repeating is after a person says his name. So, I just want to get the pronunciation right. Is it Uwemira that you are saying? Yeah, it's Uwemira. Is it Shahnawaz? Yeah, that's repeating. And referring means, let's say you have a half an hour conversation or 10, 20 minutes conversation or even a brief conversation. Refer to the person by his name. Several times. So you see, Shanawaz, what I'm saying to you is that, Shanawaz, and actually, Shanawaz, if you look at it from this way, and Uwemira, if you look at it from that way, Uwemira, so if you refer to them a couple of times in a conversation, inshallah, you will not forget their name when you meet them again. And lastly, another important point is that, if you do happen, okay, we'll discuss this separately. We'll discuss this in another segment. Let's wrap up the first the segment on how to remember people's name. The last point is make a small note. For example, where did you meet this person? What were the circumstances? For example, you make a mental note of a person. I met this person at my brother-in-law's wedding, and we sat together at the table and we had a good discussion. If you have that mental note, it will inshallah make it easier for you. Like alhamdulillah, over the years now, we've traveled to many, many destinations in the country, and we've met many, many people. But most of them, inshallah, I would be able to tell you who they are if I see them. And that's because of the mental note that you make. That this is the chairman of the masjid, this is the trustee of the masjid, this is the muadhin of the masjid, of maybe, for example, let's say Timbuktu. So you'll know, you'll remember the person's name because of the place. For example, if you stop very often, as you are making your way to Durban, if you are stopping at Wrap It Up, how many of you know the name of the cashier there? It's a colorful guy there. How many of you know the player, the person's name? So if you're traveling there several times, the least you can do is remember the person's name. He'll feel so honored, he'll make your order extra special the next time he sees you because of you remembering the name. So make a mental note of where you met the person. Excuse me. Make a mental note of where you have met the person, and that will help you, inshallah, remember who the person is. Another way is to use technology, but it's not always reliable. Technology can help you to a certain point as long as your phone is fully charged or there's sufficient battery. Number two, you don't lose your contacts. And number three, you've got the right person with the right number. Many times we mix up the numbers and then we phone the person and say, like, why is this man calling me by this name? And then you realize you have made a mistake. So technology can help you. It can help you, but you can't solely rely on technology to help you remember people's names. When it's working, alhamdulillah, it's working. But the minute it's not working, you are in trouble. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. Remember, when you address people by their names, they feel important. They feel that you are interested in their life. They feel that you care. Like say an ordinary cleaner in your company, how would they feel if you address them every morning by their name? Sometimes they feel like, you know, we are like non-existent. We're like the decoration of the company. Nobody even looks at us. Nobody even gives us a second look. And aside from the look, people don't even know my name. Sometimes the security guard works in our complex, in our company for 5 to 10 years, and so many people are not even aware of their names. Ya Allah, what kind of message are you sending to that security guard, the car guard? Sometimes the person works for a very, very long period, and because it's a big company and so many people coming in and out, we don't really pay attention to these small things in life. How many of us are aware of the cleaners in our company, the car guards, and other people? So let's try and address people by their names. And the last point that I want to add on is that don't extort people's names. You know, people got this habit of changing people's names, like Suleiman. Hey, how's it, Suli? Suli, how's it, Suli? Yeah, how's it, Suli? So let's not change people's names. Let's keep it the way it has been given to them, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. It's now a few minutes left. Time to sign out. Until we meet again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.